3, 2, 1.
Lights.
Here we go. And
camera.
Stand by to
action.
At the Movies with Richard Krause.
Good morning, Richard. Let's bid farewell to this terrible year, shall we?
I can't wait.
Oh,
I can't wait. I'm expecting everything will be completely different tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's what I've been saying all morning long. You know, we're going to wake up and there's going to be a cure for COVID and everything's good. No, you know, obviously not. But one thing, though, is we realized how much we appreciated you during this year. And not that we didn't appreciate you in 2019. I'm not saying that. But, man, there was a lot of content to stream, wasn't there?
There was, and a lot of really good content. I mean, I think a lot of shows that may have gotten kind of lost in the shuffle this year were brought to the forefront because people are just watching more stuff. I'm certainly getting requests from people on Facebook and social media, you know, what do I watch? What should I be watching now? And it's been, even with the amount of stuff that I watch, it's been hard to keep up with. So there's been a lot of good stuff out there.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been watching a lot of Christmas movies over the last week, and I'm ready to retire that. You know, it's been nice, but I'm ready to move into some real movies again. And you've sent me your top five of the year, and I know we talked about some of your favorite movies of the year last week, but a lot of these movies that are on this list, you and I haven't talked about in a bit. And I told you last time you were on that I was going to watch Ma Rainey's Black Bottom,
yep.
And maybe some of our listeners can appreciate this. With a one-month-old baby at home, I think I underestimated how much time that would take.
Right.
So I still haven't gone to it, but it's on the list, and I would love to settle in this weekend. But you loved this movie.
I do love this movie. It is based on a stage play, so it has a kind of theatrical feel to it, the film does, basically because it happens on a limited amount of sets. Most of it takes place. In a recording studio on a hot 1920s summer day in Chicago. It's steamy. There's a band down there waiting for Ma Rainey, played by Viola Davis, to show up. She's based on a real-life blues singer from the 1920s. And as the band sits there waiting, they're talking back and forth, and it sort of erupts into a war of words and wills as one of the younger members of the band, played by Chadwick Boseman, tries to push the music in a different direction. He wants the sound to be more modern. He wants to change things. The other members are resistant. And there's a number of reasons to love this movie. There's a lot of subtext here about legacy and the importance of always having one eye to the future, about ambition. There's all kinds of stuff happening there. But the performances are so wonderful. Viola Davis is unsurprisingly terrific as Ma Rainey, but Chadwick Boseman is the one that you'll remember. He plays this guy, Levy, with a mix of fury and frustration that just pours off the screen. He's so good in this, but there's a bittersweet quality to it because this is it. There's no more Chadwick Boseman performances to come. This was his last filmed performance. And so as good as it is, I felt a little bittersweet watching it, but it really is worth a look, and it's easy to find on Netflix.
Yeah, not to compare the two actors, but I remember watching the Batman movie after Heath Ledger had died, right? And it was just like, wow, that was an amazing performance, and that's just been taken away from us. And yeah, like I said, not to compare the two actors, but to compare that feeling, right? Of, oh, we're never going to see that again.
There won't be any more of this.
Right.
And that, you know, both of them, Heath Ledger and Chadwick Boseman, were young men, really cut down when they were starting to do their most interesting work. So it's a shame, but it's a tremendous movie and really worth a look.
Okay, this next one, I'm not going to lie, wasn't really on my radar until you had sent it out. Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets. What's that?
It's on nobody's radar.
Okay.
And you can find it on Amazon Prime Video. And it's a really fascinating hybrid of a documentary and a scripted drama. So what happens here, it is the story of the last night of what they call a corner bar in the United States, a bar that just has booze, no food, generally on a corner, a long bar, a few stools behind it, and that's it. But it's got a ton of regulars who have spent a good chunk of their lives there. And what they did when they filmed this is they went around to all the other corner bars in the city, in New Orleans, where they shot this, and found people that were regulars, auditioned them, and then brought them in and gave them a rough idea of what they wanted to have happen, the filmmakers did, and then filmed the results. And so what you get here is a really fascinating, real, authentic story of the community that builds up around anything. In this case, it happens to be a bar, but the friendships from the community that exist within that, and the troubles and the problems that come along with that. It is a great movie, one that was sadly overlooked this year because it's lo-fi and it's low budget and didn't have a big marketing push behind it, but it's really worth a look. It's called Bloody Nose, Empty Pockets, and you can find it on Amazon.
Okay, this next one, I don't know if I've ever actually talked to you about this on or off the air, but I was listening to you one day. I wasn't doing the interview. I was just listening to you talk to Bill about David Byrne and his new show that he was doing. And I had tickets to City Folk here in Ottawa with a ton of artists on the lineup, and I saw that David Byrne was there, and I thought, okay, the Talking Heads guy, that'll be cool. Like, you know, I like a few of those songs. And you had mentioned how cool this show was going to be, and the fact that, you know, all the band members were just standing there with the instruments kind of attached to them. And I remember listening to you going, I need to see this. It's not just like a, okay, this is going to be cool, it's the Talking Heads guy. Like, this is going to be the highlight of the weekend, I think. And it definitely was. It was one of the most incredible shows I've ever been to. And that is not an exaggeration on my part. It was one of my all-time favorite concerts. And now that experience is on video for us.
Yeah, it is. Directed by Spike Lee. And I agree with you. I saw the show live, and it is easily one of the top three shows of all time for me. David Byrne's the way that there's a number of things that I find inspirational about it. David Byrne is, I think, 67 years old now, and he's still out there pushing the envelope, still out there trying new things. He could easily make a fortune just touring around, not these days, but in the before time, touring around playing Talking Head songs. But instead, he tries new things, and what he's done here is done the show called American Utopia with about 90% new music. The odd Talking Head song comes up here and there. But it's so filled with joy and optimism and just, you know, good feelings all around that this is a show that you'll feel better walking out of than you did walking into. And Spike Lee, when he filmed the Broadway version of this show, I think has done a great version of transferring what happened on stage and the power and the energy of it onto the screen. And this one's called David Byrne's American Utopia. You can find it on Netflix. It's a perfect New Year's Eve kind of movie. It is a great visual. It has, you know, wonderful music, and it's a movie with a good beat, and you can dance to it. It's perfect stuff for tonight.
Yeah, what else can you ask for, really? Remember when we used to go to concerts, Richard? That was a great time.
I know. The last concert I saw in person was Gowan.
Unbelievable. I don't even know what the last show that I saw was, now that you mention it. It was
late February, yeah, for me.
Man. Okay. His House. Another movie not on my radar until you and I talked last week, and I watched it, I think, the very next day I put it on, and it was not normally a movie that I would have watched until you had told me to check it out. Horror movie, but so well done.
So well done, and we talked about it last week, so I'll briefly go through this, but it is the story of two Sudanese refugees who end up in England. They're given a house to live in, but told you can't leave the house. You have to stay here because you're not legally allowed to work in England yet, so just stay in the house. And they do, except that the house takes on a personality of its own, and it's haunted. And the thing that I liked about this movie is that there's a deep subtext to a genre that we've seen a lot of times before. The haunted house thing is, there's thousands of them out there, stories and movies. This movie takes it up a notch by having a look at survivor's guilt, the psychological wounds of living a life spent in trauma, of cultural displacement, and creates a movie that is genuinely scary. And it takes a lot now for something to really raise the hairs on the back of my neck, and this movie did it. And it's, again, easy to find on Netflix.
And Greyhound is on Apple TV, and like His House, we spent a lot of time talking about that last week, and I've said it to you multiple times, but it's the one movie this year that I wish I was in the theater for. It was just, I missed something with that.
Yeah, I think it was shot definitely to be seen in a theater. I mean, a big Tom Hanks movie, of course. Who would have thought a year ago when they were probably shooting this that all the theaters in the world would be closed? But it's the story of the North Atlantic and a convoy of ships crossing. And when you see those overhead shots of these ships, these giant warships that just look like they're stranded, floating like, you know, bobbins on a lake or something, they look so inconsequential, and you realize the power of the ocean and the power of nature that's all around them. That is a cinematic experience that would have been best served seeing it in a theater. It doesn't quite translate as well on television, but it's a great movie.
About a month ago, I watched Belushi on Crave, and I know you reviewed it while I was away, but I didn't know I needed a two-hour documentary on John Belushi, but I was just fascinated by a story I thought I already knew, and maybe there wasn't a ton new there, but the interviews, it was really a beautiful and fascinating experience.
Yeah, I think that the interviews really make that movie, and all the interviews were done only in audio, so you don't see Dan Aykroyd talking, you don't see Lorne Michaels or any of those people, but for a number of years ago, 10 years ago, they were going to do a book on Belushi, and so the author went around and did audio interviews with everyone that knew him, friends, family, ex-girlfriends, whatever it might be, and that forms the spine of this documentary called Belushi, which you'll find on Crave, and it's terrific. It really gives you a look at not only why John Belushi was so loved, because he was funny and driven and all that, but why he burned out and self-destructed at such a young age. I mean, the cultural impact that he has left behind, really after only being famous for about 5 years, is truly remarkable. And this documentary does a really good job of explaining why and how that happened.
Well, thanks for the great ideas. I think David Byrne's on the list for tonight for me. So
it's a perfect New Year's Eve movie. I didn't realize it until you asked me about it. I'm like, of course.
There you go. That's exactly what we need to do tonight. Richard, Happy New Year. Thanks for everything this year. You've given us so much great stuff to binge and watch, and it's been fun. We'll do it again soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll talk to you again next week, man. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to everyone listening.
Richard Krause, our movie reviewer. It's The Morning Rush.